Be with us, go with us as we go forth in your word. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We can pull those up if you want
to. Okay. We're starting, I think Sister Velma was starting in Luke chapter 19.
And
just getting ready to get started. What I like about these gospels is how Jesus is doing so many teachings and parables, because everything that he's doing now, all the miracles and all the teachings, it's leading him to Calvary now. So the things that he's doing now, there's meaning in all of them. And he's in a hurry, in a sense of he knows he has to get where he has to go. But all along the way, he's still stopping to do miracles or to do parables or to teach all along the way as he goes. And this tonight is a beautiful parable about Zacchaeus. So we're going to go open up and start reading. Would someone read verse 1 through 5 for me, please? Chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Got it?
Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.
Okay, let's look at that verse 1 as it's saying Jesus is entering into Jericho. Again, remember, wherever he's going now and whatever he's doing, he's on his way to Calvary. But once he enters in, and Zacchaeus, now Zacchaeus being a tax collector, everybody knew Zacchaeus and they knew he was rich. So to them, it wasn't like he was that great of a guy. I mean, that's like IRS, you know, collecting them taxes. So, and he was of short stature. It wasn't that he was tall, but he was short. Like I'm 5'1¼". So maybe he might have been maybe just a little bit shorter than me. That makes me feel good to say that. So Zacchaeus had to be a really short man of stature as the way the scripture is describing him. But he had heard that Jesus was passing this way. The reputation of Jesus had grown so everywhere. So when the crowds would gather, that was because they heard Jesus was coming. And everyone wanted to get a chance to see Jesus as he passed through, if some were asking for special favors. But there was always a reason why Jesus was going the routes that he did go. And for this one, at this particular time, it was for Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And the crowd had already gathered, so therefore Zacchaeus couldn't work his way through because of his short stature. And he knew he wanted to see Jesus. So let me back up. The crowd had already started gathering. Jesus wasn't there yet. So Zacchaeus made his way through the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree so he would be able to see Jesus. He wouldn't have to worry about looking over anybody's shoulder or trying to break through just to see him. He had an ideal spot up in the sycamore tree to watch for Jesus as he came by. And as we read on, I want you to notice what Jesus does and what he says. It's like when I said he's passing through areas and going into cities, there's always the reason why. And we'll see what Jesus does and what he says as he gets closer. Will someone pick up verse 6? Wait, before we move on, are there any questions or comments over where we are and what we've read so far? Any questions or comments? Okay, will someone pick us up there at verse 6?
So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.
Okay, let's just back up one more time here. And five, once that kid was up in that tree, notice what Jesus said. He called him by name. So it's not like Zacchaeus even realized that Jesus even knew who he was, because he was just minding his own business up in the sycamore tree just to see Jesus for himself. Like I said, his reputation had already preceded him, and the word had gotten out how he does perform miracles, and some wanted to see for themselves what and who Jesus really was. So once Jesus called Zacchaeus by name, of course, this had to automatically startle him, because it's like, how would he even know my name? But Jesus noticed, he stopped and looked up and called Zacchaeus by name and said, make haste, hurry up, come on down here, for today I must stay at your house. Now you got to remember, the crowd is already gathered and they're hearing Jesus call this man's name. And everybody knows about Zacchaeus, and Jesus is saying, because I must abide in your house. I got to come to your house today, Jesus. That's like an unexpected guest. Zacchaeus, I'm sure Zacchaeus' face is like, what? Who? Me? But Jesus had a reason to come through Jericho at this particular time to see and visit with Zacchaeus. And with the crowd, amongst the crowd, whenever Jesus usually did parables or miracles, it was always a crowd. And this time he wanted everyone to know and see Zacchaeus. They already knew who he was. But Jesus, you are going to this man's house? We all know he's a tax collector, and we all know he's rich. That was the reputation that Zacchaeus had in the town. But Jesus is about to change some of this. And the way Zacchaeus treats Jesus, I'm not going to get ahead, but we'll see what happens if Jesus is in his house. Any other questions or comments before we go any further? Okay. And if we look at six, he hurried up and came down out of that tree, and he was so happy, joyful, that Jesus seen him and called him down. Zacchaeus had no idea, but he was happy and joyful for the fact that Jesus seen him in that sycamore tree, called him by name, and asked him to come down. Hurry up, Zacchaeus, and come down, because I'm going to your house. So he meets him joyfully and with glee. It's like, oh, Jesus is talking to me and coming to my house. And everybody was there to see it. And to them, it's like, what does Jesus want to abide at the house of Zacchaeus? Okay, let's read on. Will someone pick up verse 7 and 8, please?
Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I gave half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restored fourfold.
Okay, stop right there before we go to 9. He's already been humbled himself. Look at what he says. Lord, I've already given half of my goods to the poor. I mean, you know, I am rich, but I'm not just that selfish. And I am a tax collector. But this is what I've done. Trying to impress Jesus to let him know. Now, Lord, I do share with the poor. I do good. He's trying to let that be known. Because Jesus is the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus is a sinner, and he knew it, so he's trying to at least help make himself look good by telling Jesus what all he had done, the good that he had done, having no idea really why Jesus is really at his house yet. But he's trying to impress him now by letting him know what all he's done. Even though I'm rich, even though I'm a tax collector, Lord, I still do good. Okay, let's read on. 9.
And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Okay, listen to what he's telling Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I'm coming. My job is to come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, what Zacchaeus has already done is tried to explain himself. It's like, Lord, whatever it is you might want of me, this is what I have already done. So it's like he's opening up himself, like, okay, Lord, so what is it that you want of me? I've already done this and I've done that. What do you want of me? But Jesus is telling him what he has come to do. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. How do we explain salvation? How do we explain salvation? The word salvation is coming here. So how do we explain salvation? Today, salvation has come to this house. Someone with a definition of salvation. Anybody? Don't look it up. Give me what you think.
He come to save him.
Salvation, okay. He says, I come to save. What is salvation? How do we get salvation? We used to sing a song down here.
Grace.
Soul salvation. We cannot work on our soul salvation, but what is salvation? Salvation has come to his house. What is it?
God's grace.
Oh, good. God's grace. Anyone else?
Salvation. Trusting and believing.
I'm sorry.
That Jesus, trusting and believing that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for our sins. He realized who Jesus was and accepted who he was.
Okay. So you're saying he already knew who Jesus was and being the Son of God and okay.
No, not, he didn't know when he first met him when he was up in that tree, but it's not until he came to his house and how Zacchaeus confessed his sins that he knew he was wrong as a tax collector. And he repented.
Oh, okay, right there. Okay. Okay. Oh, good point, Sister Marcia. Anyone else on salvation? Salvation has come to your house. Anyone? Salvation, we always say, is free. Well, what is it then? What are we saying salvation is?
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus. Okay, good point. Usually when I keep doing that, I'm looking for a certain thing. But you're right. All of what you all said, all of the above, you're on it. I'm still looking for one more thing. Salvation. Anybody else?
Surrendering our life to Jesus.
Oh, surrender. Okay. Anyone else?
Free from sin.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very good. Anyone else? Salvation. The one when we, someone.
Eternal life.
Okay. Yes. All that goes with salvation. All of that falls under salvation. It's being saved. Salvation, saved. Life eternal. God's goodness, God's mercy, salvation is free. How do we give? Okay, let me put it this way. What scripture do we use if we're trying to get someone to know the Lord and how they can be saved? How can they receive? What is salvation to them? What scripture would we use for that? What scripture? I'm sorry.
Believe in your heart.
Is it Romans? Right, Romans 10.
Yes, somebody quote that for me. Romans, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is free. We can't work on our salvation. We can't offer it to anybody. We can give them what the scripture says so that they can be saved. In this, Zacchaeus, it's like, he is going to be saved this day at his own house. Jesus has come to his house. And Jesus's explanation is, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And another thing, if we look at verse 8, if we go back to verse 8 where Zacchaeus says, I restore fourfold. In other words, I've been given back and I will restore that which they have lost. Jesus is saying, I've come to seek and to save like that which is lost. Zacchaeus has already even touched on what Jesus had to say himself. So salvation is coming to Zacchaeus. Anybody else before we move on? And notice again, okay, a lot of times, y'all, I'll stop myself and I'll go back or I'll get excited and get ahead of myself. But okay, if we look at 9, is that where it's going to be? Steve, anything? What it was is in verse 9, when he says, today, salvation has come to this house. He didn't say, once I leave, or it's salvation will come to you. He says, today, it will be today. Someone can be saved on the spot. And, you know, a lot of times we always say, or I've heard some say how it just seems so not right when someone's in lived sinful all their life and on they die in bed, they accept the Lord. That's self-talking. That's being selfish. God is saying you can be saved right then. And if they confess with their mouth right then, they can be saved. Salvation can come then. Anybody can be saved if they go with our scripture. With Romans 8, what it says, it's true. And Zacchaeus is getting ready to be saved today. Salvation is coming to him today. Any other questions or comments before we move on?
Romans 10:13 also says it.
Oh,
it says, for whosoever call on the Lord shall be saved.
They'll be saved. It ain't given no stipulation. It just says whoever.
Whatsoever.
Whoever, it don't matter. It don't matter what you didn't come through or who you was back then. Right then, you can be saved, whoever you are. Yeah. And you hear some people always saying, oh, girl, I can't come. I got to get myself together. You can't. You can't get yourself together. You got Jesus is the only one that can get you together. And it don't matter where you're coming from, even if you're coming off that street corner or coming out of rehab. It don't mean you can be saved in rehab, in whoever, whenever you can be saved. And let us not get beside ourselves, because if it wasn't for God's grace, it would be us.
Amen.
It ain't like we all been saved and holy and sanctified, filled with the precious Holy Ghost all our life. And a lot of times you got to witness to some with your testimony or where you come from, what you done, where you been, can bring someone else in through our testimony. And anybody can be saved. Any other questions or comments? Thank you for that reading. Any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, then. Will someone pick us up for verse 11? Am I ahead of myself? No, we right. Okay. Okay. Let me back up 10 again. For the Son of Man has come. He's given his purpose and his reasoning as to why he has come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save whoever, wherever, whatever, save that which was lost. There's emphasis on that. That's why Jesus came. And you know, he did not come to change anything. He didn't come to change it. He came to fulfill it. And to seek and to save that which was lost, which was us. And here, it's Zacchaeus. Okay, I think I'm ready to move on. Any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Will somebody pick us up with 11 and 12, please? Anybody?
11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately.
Okay, stop right there. Notice what he's saying. They thinking that it will appear immediately. Remember, the Jews were looking for freedom from the Romans. They were thinking this Prince of Peace that was coming to save them from being under the Roman rule, and that would. Some were looking at it. Now, they were not looking at it as Jesus was the Son of God. And to this day, several of them still don't. They're still in the Old Testament with it. But here, it's specifically saying, Jesus is telling why he has come. And he's also saying, and notice, he's making two parables. Again, I said Jesus was getting in a hurry on his way to Jerusalem. He's on the road to Calvary now. So it's not just one parable he's dealing with here. He's given us two parables, all at the same scripture, all in the same chapter. I'm sorry, all in verse in chapter 19. Jesus is on his way to Calvary, but it always amazed me how he stopped all along the way. And knowing what lies ahead, it's like, I'd be taking my time. I know they can read, I'd be taking my time getting there. But he was like in a hurry to get there. And it's like the disciples, it still ain't really clicked with them exactly who he really is. I mean, you know, they had him now going on 3 years here. And, you know, they know he's special. They know he's different. You know, he called them and all of that. But it still ain't really registered with them who and what he really is. So he has to teach. His teachings is not just for the people, but for the disciples as well. Because, like I said, he's in a hurry and he knows he's going to have to leave, and they've got to get all this before he leaves. And okay, I won't get ahead of myself, but Jesus is trying to teach as well as to the people, as well as to his disciples, to teach and understand. Parables, you can see the parable, the way he gives a parable, which is so important how Jesus does this. It's a teaching all in as well as his preaching and teaching. I always said there had to be something amazing about the voice of Jesus. Had to be something in his voice that even drew more people just to him, aside from what they had heard about him. But anyway, any questions or comments before we move out of this on to the next scripture? Would you continue reading for us, please?
Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return.
Continue.
So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10, is it minus?
Uh-huh.
And said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us.
Okay. Let's back up. Let's look here at 11 real quick again. Now, they're hearing the things that Jesus is saying. They're listening. They're hearing all this. And the disciples already know Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. This is where they're headed. They do know that. And to them, for him to be stopping along the way just to teach and tell a parable. And this parable here that she just read, once we really get into that, that is something how Jesus tells these parables and makes it very plain to them what he's saying and how it should be and what will come to pass. And when we look at, let's see, when he starts out this parable and he says, a certain nobleman, if you notice, in all of the parables, he gives a description of whom he's getting ready to talk about or discuss. Like with Zacchaeus, he was a man of stature. He was a tax collector in the city, and he was rich. In this one, it's a nobleman. A nobleman is a very stout, renowned person, and they're wealthy as well. A nobleman, very well-known, very educated, and well-known within that community, within that town as well. No name is given, only the fact that he is a certain nobleman, not just any nobleman. And a lot of times, names are not used, but a description is. Any questions or comments before we go into this next parable? Anybody? Okay. Let's move on. And this nobleman had went into a far country. You know, and traveling back then, it wasn't like it would just take hours or so to get where they're going. It would take days to travel to where they were going. And he was going to a far country, given the description. Remember, this is a parable that Jesus is teaching. And he was going to himself a kingdom and to return. He was going to a country for himself, a kingdom, to receive a kingdom. And to return. All right, when we say or look at it as he was going into a kingdom and returning, like Anybody, any idea what that is meaning? What is that saying? Why is he going? Any question? Anybody on that one? A far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return.
Does that nobleman represent Jesus going to heaven and then when he returns?
That's definitely a good way to look at it, Marcia. Now, yeah, we can apply that. We can apply that. When you look into it in detail, yeah, we can apply it like that. That's a good point, Marcia. Anyone else? A certain nobleman went into a country, a far country, to receive for himself a kingdom. Anyone else? And to return. Anyone else with any thoughts on that one? When it says he's going into a far country and into a kingdom, he's going to a place that, Marcia, you, the way you had put it, it could be like where Jesus was going and teaching and preaching the way he was and came back, or have gone to heaven and have come back. That's a good point. But with this one, into the far country, it's like he had gone in as a nobleman to receive and know and find out what exists in these other kingdoms that I can bring back. Mm-hmm. He was searching out and to keep like to keep on top of everything, being the nobleman and the rich man that he was, and for everyone to know he was going, the way Jesus is putting it, into a far country and to another kingdom, and going in to get it, gain his own kingdom, going to really find and seek what is there. Again, like Jesus said, he came to seek and to save. And this nobleman, the way Jesus is putting, he's going into this kingdom to seek and yet to return back. To return, it means he would have to have learn something to come back and bring. But then
Sister Lana,
yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Lana, could that mean like he's going into a more powerful kingdom?
Oh, well, yeah. And because he is such a nobleman and educated, it would do him good, like to travel to find out what kingdoms he might could even possess, or to see what exists in other kingdoms. But yes, ma'am, you're actually on it. Yes. And the way Jesus paints a parable, it's so that you can really picture and see it in your mind. Because his teachings were just, I mean, they were plain, yet they were yet so detailed and thorough in what he's saying, because he's teaching as he's leaving. Remember, he's on his way. So he's got to make it plain to the people as well as to his disciples. Any other questions or comments to add with that? Anyone?
Yes. Also, when he went to this to receive the kingdom, and he would return, assuming from where he was, but he left 10. He left 10 servants there, like, I bought this house, but I want you to stay here until I come back.
Come back.
And he gives to them monies and things to equal, I was looking that word up, minus 3 months of salary that they could stay, maintain themselves, take care of his kingdom, right, or watch over till he returned.
Right, right. He didn't leave them void. And
no, he didn't.
A nobleman, yeah, and being of a nobleman, thank you, Barbara, but being a nobleman that he is, it's like he thinks ahead, like leaving all that for them, doing this and doing that. So to me, I look at it, Jesus is saying, as you go, as you're going out, teaching and healing and doing what you're doing, leave where you come from. Leave it well deserved. Leave who's ever there. Make sure they well taken care of so they can handle all of your business while you're gone, and take care of them. Always return. Let us not get so high till we forget where we come from. Never forget where we come from. And he's telling them, I'm giving you this, but I will return. Take care of this. Take care of the business. Take care of things for me. So Jesus is making this real plain. He's breaking it down to them how it's going to be by using a nobleman. This nobleman went to a far country. So, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Is something? Did I miss something, Barbie? Y'all was talking. Did I miss something? No? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. So, so let's pick it up. Okay. I'm sorry. I got excited there. But you know what? When Jesus is teaching, and like I said, he's making it so plain Do you notice the words that he uses? A lot of adjectives, there's nouns. From where he's trying to break it down to them, it's like, I can't come back and repeat all this. You're going to have to maintain all of this. And like with this nobleman leaving and leaving those servants, those 10 servants there, you got to remember to do whatever I've already taught you, what you didn't learn. You've got to maintain until I come back. In other words, disciples, when you go out, you got to come back and remember, maintain, keep the people. Remember, you're healing. You're going to be healing. You're going to be doing everything that I'm doing is going to be passed on to you. So you got to remember, maintain everything I'm teaching and telling and saying. And there's a lesson in every parable that Jesus taught. A lesson in everything. If you really listen and break it down and look at the words he's using and how he uses it and what he said. Look with Zacchaeus. Look what he said. Look what he did. I came to seek and to save. Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was open to it. He was open and salvation came to him that day. This nobleman, we're going to see what happens with these servants, but look at what he did. And like I said, a lot of times he will use the actual name and other times he will use just the description. And the description here was just the nobleman and his servants. Okay, any questions or comments before we move on? Okay, let me see. Was there something else? In verse 16, okay. Okay. At the bottom there of verse 15, where he says, do business till I come. Do your business. I'm leaving everything. Do your business until I come. And Marcia, that can refer to, too, like Jesus leaving, and we got to do what we're supposed to do. Go ye therefore, teaching and preaching. Do your business until I come back. That can go, Sister Marcia, as the fact of Jesus leaving as well. Okay, any other questions or comments, y'all, before we move on and before I start stopping again? Nobody? Okay, there was something else here, though. What was it that I wanted? Do business till I come. Okay. Oh, that's it. The citizens hated him. They did not like this nobleman at all. And Jesus makes note of that. They hated him. He didn't say they disliked him or they did not care for him. He stated specifically, they hated him. Okay? So for Jesus to use this for an example, look at the words he's using. Like I said, the words he uses, the pronouns, the nouns, the adjectives. He makes it so plain. There was nothing about this man they liked. They hated him. Okay? But yet it's like, do your business. I don't care. Do your business. Anyway, till I come back. Till I come. Okay. Any other questions or comments before I move on? Are we good? Okay. Then we'll go on. Okay, let me see if there was one more thing. And send a delegation. And then to send people after him. A delegation. That means there was another little crowd. They're going to send a delegation, 10, 15, 20 people, to go after him. And it's like, saying we will not have this man to reign over us because we hate him. We don't like him. So no, don't be sending him. So a delegation went after him just to tell him, no, we don't want this man. Mm-mm, he can't rule over us. But Jesus is going to show you different. And look at who he uses. I mean, he already knew. In this parable, make it real, it's like he's knowing the way he's setting this up and using these words that he's using for you to really see what he's saying and understand what he's saying. This man is still going to be rule over whether y'all like him or not. I already know, okay, they hated him. Everybody know they hated him. And they're going to send these people to tell him, he can't rule over us. It's got to be somebody else better than this. But we'll see what Jesus says as we read on. Any other questions?
Obedience versus disobedience?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
Is that obedience versus disobedience?
Oh, that's a good point. Yes, it can be. We got a double standard here. Like, yeah, definitely. Good choice of words. Yes, ma'am. Obedience, disobedient. Anyone else? That was good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, then we go get ready to read on. Will somebody pick us up, please, there at verse 16. I'm sorry, am I ahead of myself?
Yeah, 15.
15. I'm sorry, 15. Yes. Will somebody pick up for us, please? Oh. Okay, well, let me read it. I'll read on. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him. All right, bring them back to me. And we'll see what he's going to say here, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. When came the first saying, Master, your minas had earned 10 minas, minas. Let me pronounce that right. And he said to him, well done, good servant. If you notice, well done is in parallel. It's like in parenthesized. Mm-hmm. Well done. And you know, that's something you'll always hear people say a lot of times, well done, or Jesus would say, well done. We're looking to hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. So Jesus is, again, he's using words. Notice what he'd be saying, y'all, because it all will come together. Well done. He's still telling the parable. He's telling the parable. Okay, and then he says, oh, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. So this is what he's giving, because of how he chose to spend his three. This is what he's given. He has been chosen and to give authority over 10 cities. And you know, when you think about it, when he went looking at these kingdoms, and they were, as it said, they were his kingdoms. He searched out looking for his own kingdoms. So he's giving this servant 10 cities, evidently out of the kingdoms that he had seen or that he had went to, and they became his kingdoms. So 10, and look how many minutes that the servant had and turned it into 10, from 3 to 10. Okay, and well done, good servant, because you were faithful. And you know, I should have had the scripture already. Because you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you master of many. And that's a scripture that comes back, that comes to this one as well, comes to mind of this one as well. Any other comments or questions before we move on to the next servant? Okay. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned the minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Okay, now look how what he did with his. His didn't increase, it didn't decrease, it stayed the same. But yet, I'm going to make you ruler over 5 cities. Do we see a significance or a difference here? What are we seeing?
You get what you give.
Oh, okay, good. Anyone else? You get what you give. Anyone else?
Well, the first one, evidently him turning it to the 10 was well done. But to second one, he didn't. That well done is not there.
Right.
I mean, he almost like he did okay, but if you returned it into 10, that would have been what I decided.
I see.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Oh, good one.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful. When you read that particular verse, he gave him 5. He earned 5. So he doubled what he had done. Just like the first guy earned 10, he doubled what he had been given. So both of them have earned something. They doubled up what he had given them.
Okay.
But didn't he give them each one?
He wasn't good.
That's later. He's going to give one. Mm-hmm.
He didn't do good.
But, okay, let me back up. Something, Wendell, that you had said there. Minus, okay, has earned 10. Right, okay. Anyone else before we move on?
But also, going into that second one, it says, your mama has earned 5. That's what I'm saying. Basically, what you were saying, okay, before, he didn't do anything. He earned five more he had been given
than what he had. Okay, so he's gonna make him over just five cities. But look at what he did the first one, 10.
Because he earned, because he had been given 10.
And but look at what he says to him as well too. He does give him only the first one. That well done.
Yeah.
It's not well, just good.
Okay.
The first guy, though, make a note. This is Sharon.
Yes,
like,
ma'am.
I think Marcia was saying earlier, the first one was well done.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was just good. It wasn't, right. He hadn't done extremely good.
Or right.
Extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
He just was just good.
Good, right.
He passed. Right. He doubled, but he didn't put forth as much effort.
Right, right.
To help increase the kingdom.
It appears that they're being rewarded proportionally to what they're gaining.
Thank you.
Right, right. Rewards. And we got to, and of course, we all know we will be rewarded as well according to what we have done.
Yes.
Our rewards will be according to our works. Mm-hmm. The rewards that we will receive in heaven will come according to our works. And this almost leads to that as well. We can put emphasis on our rewards as well as how it will go with them. And like I said, everyone wants to hear that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Anything else before we move on?
You know, it's almost like, you know, you reap what you sow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you reap what you sow. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly.
Right.
So.
Anyone else?
And it's like God has given all of us special gifts to benefit the kingdom. And so we have to trust God to give it back fairly, to govern it fairly.
And I'm glad you talked on gifts. Everyone is given gifts. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of you using your gifts. It's not for us to sit on or take for granted the gifts that we're given. They are to be used. Use the gifts that we have been given. I'm glad you mentioned gifts. Anything else before we move on to verse 20?
No?
Jesus gave this servant 10, and he earned 10.
So that means, right.
In reality, now he has the value of 20. The 10 Jesus gave him, and the 10 he earned, right? The second man, he gave him 10, but he only earned 5.
Five, right.
So they in all reality, he lost. He lost out. He came up with less than what he started out with.
Started out with less. And again, that's why he was only good. And look at what the first one did.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's dwindling according to their
what
work.
Yeah, reap what you sow, as someone said.
That's Lana, right. We'll have to get some clarification, but from what I'm seeing in verse 16, he says, then came the first saying, Master, your mina, meaning one, has earned 10 minutes. Now, there is another parable where he talks about the talents when they, some men that buried them, but I think that was a different parable. So I think we're clashing the two.
Okay, well, see,
we need to study further to figure it out, but that's what I'm saying.
Okay, because now, remember, they all started out with 10 in verse 13. So he called the servants, delivered them 10. Each one had 10. Okay. And the first one, he did good with his.
The second
10, he came down to just 5. So the first one received more because he had more. His meanest, he made more with his. Okay. So yeah.
Studied it further.
All started with 10. And depending on what they, how they did it, how they spent it, is how the nobleman is really giving them rewards of that. So from 10 to 5 with this one and the other one 10. So any other questions or comments before we move on? We want to make it clear before we move on. Everybody with us?
Well, I'm a little confused on verse 13 verses 16. Now, when Jesus, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minutes. So was that he gave each one of the 10 one? Did each of the servants get 10?
Okay. The way his scripture reads, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minutes and said to them, do business. So now to me, Barbara, the way I'm looking at it, it's like he gave each one, oh, are we that late already? Okay, thank you. Seemingly to me, all 10 came, but it looks like to me he gave each one, I'm thinking, maybe 10. 10,
that's what I was thinking. But
and, yeah, so when we read, like if, like when we read there at verse 13,
say he delivered to them 10 minutes.
Right, so that would
he didn't say each or the whole group of 10,
right.
Got one each or what? That's where I'm a little confused there.
Okay. On 13 verses 16, the clarification. When the first one came, he had earned 10 minutes minus. And he said to him, and you know, that's where it would be confusing. Let me get a good understanding on that. With 10 there, okay. I'm looking at it like he gave each one 10.
That's and what like, I thought at first, but then I don't know if he gave them 10, or 10 to the group, because he sent for 10 and he gave out 10 minutes. So did he give one each?
One? So I'm going to read out of the
okay.
Good News Bible. And it says, before he left, he called his 10 servants and gave them each a gold coin and told them, see what you can earn with this while I am gone.
Oh, so he did give each a like gold coin. One, so that one, would be one each.
One.
A one for each of the 10. Okay. So the first one with his one, he made it 10. The second one with his one, he made it 5.
Right.
Because so they both multiplied and did 10 times or 5 times what they started out with. Okay. That's where I wasn't sure, did each get 10 or the 10 each got one?
One.
Thank you for the clarification.
That was good. Thank you. And the thing is, the first one out of the one, look at what he did. 10. So well done. Well done. According to your works with this, his was well done. The second one, out of his one, he made it into 5. And that's good. It was no big shadoo on that one, but that was good. Because they still made money off of theirs. And to receive their rewards. Him, 5 cities. The other one, 10. Okay. Any other questions? Are we all good and clear? Is everybody there with us?
Well, I have a question because we've always been told to pick at the characters. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at the character of citizen, you know, but his citizens hated him. So, you know, like identified, what is that saying? His citizens hated him. And who is the him, you know, and sent a delegation after him saying we would not have this man to reign over us.
Right.
So I got a little bit confused, you know, when we was reading that passage.
Okay.
Any thoughts from anyone?
Yes. Let's give a clarification on that. Okay. So now the person that they're referring to that they hate, that he has put over them. Does anyone know exactly what that is? And I'll let you know. Because when you said characters, Sister Kristen, that's when I was specifying the fact how sometimes he actually called people by names or other words, like this one was the nobleman.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, pulling out the characters is good. We got citizens, we got delegation, and a delegation, like I said, is like anywhere from 10 to 15 or more going after to let him know we don't want him to rule over us. Is there a confusion with who we're talking about as far as who they hated? Is that where we're having a confusion?
Yeah, it had to be the noble. Was it the nobleman? The nobleman. Because he was over them, right?
Right.
Over the nobleman was over them. Service. Okay.
Right.
The citizens be the unbelievers.
Okay. I was going to say, this is Sharon.
Yes, ma'am.
I think in the parable, if we actually put who it is, the nobleman is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about him trying to set up a kingdom. And people send right at that point, he's trying to help them to understand his kingdom is not going to be of this world. But he's the one that they are, don't like, that are rejecting him when he said that they didn't want them to rule over him. But I look at it when I'm reading it, it's that we're talking about Jesus, even though he doesn't put his name there. He came down from heaven. He's the nobleman, and he was trying to set up and establish his kingdom. And then when he had his disciples and those that were following him, he was giving them still training. I looked at this as a part of his training of those disciples and helping them to, and he put it in the form of a parable. But I looked at it as if he was trying to say, I'm, like you said earlier, Lana, that they were supposed to go out and share the gospel. They all have an opportunity to serve and to help build the kingdom of God. And so the one did this, the second one did that, the third did something else, but it wasn't that they put in all of the effort that he wanted, because he's given them the gift, but they have not handled it wisely. And that's where I took it. Now, I could be wrong, but that was where my spirit took me.
Okay. Sharon, and what you were saying, yeah, it can actually go that way as well. And when I was saying too, how, like you had mentioned, the way he's trying to teach these disciples, as, and like I said, it's still a crowd that he's talking to, as well as the disciples. And the meaning here is, yes, again, it goes like into rewards. The work that you do, it does count. It does add up. I'm teaching. I'm trying to get you to understand this because I am leaving. But then when I do return, when Jesus does return, he's coming back for his church. Hopefully the ones that we have brought to Christ from the works that we would have done and what the disciples have to do while he's gone. He is teaching this, Sharon. Yeah, as the, he's going along and teaching with parables. And parables are to really bring out the fact of what the work they have to do, like with him being used, like you were saying, in reference to putting himself there and what the disciples doing or being what these servants have doing, going out and working with what they have, the gift they have, their one minus that they had to increase. And that's like us increasing the flock, going out and doing what we are to do and what the disciples have to do once he does leave. Any other questions or comments or clarification we need before we move on? Don't want to move on without everyone right there with us.
In relation to Ann's question about the citizens, but his citizens, the Holy Spirit just put on my mind that they may be the unbelievers or his citizens, the Jews, and those who did are the ones that did not believe him. They hated him and right. told him, we're not following you. We got the way. You don't have the way. We got the way. They should follow us.
Right. And again, and to me, that almost sounds like the citizens could almost be like the scribes of the Pharisees, not, you know, hate, you know how they hated on Jesus. But yeah, that's a good point. Citizens. Yeah, that would be them. That's them here hating on him and wanting him to know. No, you just don't put him over us. He's not the one. And we all know Jesus was hated. It wasn't like he was loved by everybody. Like we're saying, he's on his way to Calvary, going into Jerusalem. Okay. Everybody didn't love him all along the way. And he knew that he was going to be hated. He was going to be despised. He knew that. But yet he continued on his way. Whether the citizens liked him or not, he still continued on the way. And this is the same here. Any other questions or comments?
No, I agree with Sharon. It's what she was saying about this is kind of a representation of Jesus also, you know, although the nobleman, you know, and using the nobleman, because this is a parable.
Right.
And that's what he speaks of, the nobleman in here. And so, of course, these was in this parable, the nobleman was the nobleman citizens. That's what it is. But, you know, yeah, I was just trying to say, I agree with Sharon was saying definite, because you look at what a parable is and what it tells, the type of story it tells or whatever. Yeah, Jesus definitely is in this, you know, in this parable. You're definite, and he's using other characters in a parable to speak to a message that he wants people to understand, and putting it in kind of like in this, knowing who he was talking to, you know, the who he's telling this parable to. It's in that time. It's in that time. So they can relate to what consider, but you know, we don't talk about noblemen's and that type of thing. We use different, you know, names and things, you know, but and so they would have known what he meant by noblemen's, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. And so we just put another name as to what we was used today. But yeah, I'm getting it now. I'm truly, yeah, y'all helping me a lot. Thank you.
And adding to all of what you said, and even if we go up and look at Zacchaeus, how plain Jesus made the parable that he was telling about Zacchaeus when he was talking with him. He's making everything, like I said, so plain right now to them, and they have to understand and get what he's saying. And so to me, to be teaching and bringing it out, I want to make sure everybody is understanding and they're with us and to hear feedback, which is good. Right. So we all on the same page before we get ready to move any further. Our next Sunday, Sister Murphy, did you say how much time do we have? It can be. Sister Murphy, what are we looking at, did you say?
7:27.
For real?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Okay, y'all. Anybody else, then? We won't try even another verse right now. Anybody want to add to what we've already gone over? I want to make sure, is everybody with us? Are we got the clarification of the nobleman, the citizens, the delegation, the nobleman, and the minus, as we call it? Is everybody with us?
Yeah, because I'm glad someone said something about that minus. I was really questioning. Yeah, because usually, you know, I had went back to put that into terms of today. And that's a lot of times what you have to do, you know. You have to go back and say, what is that today, you know? Yeah. And we could, yeah, you get more meaning from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
No. Well, Lana, it's just letting us know that God is looking at us to use the gifts that we are given. Yes. He's gone away, but when he comes back, he's going to look at what we have done with what we have been gifted.
Right.
And
right.
If we want to hear that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's gone now, so we need to be at work doing the work of the kingdom. So when he returns and he looks at what we've done, that we can hear that, well done.
Right. Oh, very good. Yes, very good. Those gifts. And everyone has a gift. Don't think you don't. You do. If it ain't nothing but giving a smile to encourage someone along the way, or a word, or anything to cheer someone on their way, or to make it, you know, a lot of times I look at it, sometimes we're going through and it seems like they're saying nobody else going through, but there's always someone worse off than you in the midst and the middle of what you're going through. There's something that you can still do that might help and bring somebody else along the way as well. Using those gifts which God has given us is what we are to use and even work on while he's gone until he does return.
So the takeaway of that one is, what are we doing with our gold coin?
Yes. Good point. Good point. Yes. What are we doing? Because the rewards, our rewards is what's going to add up from what we do. We reap what we sow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before we close out, I just want to thank each one of you. Thanks, Sister Lana and Sister Hall, for stepping in and continuing on with the study. This Sister Gay, this has been a very trying day, very trying time. And I thank each one of you for all your prayers and all your support, because Sister Velma wants class to continue. She wants the word to continue. Really wanted to teach, and all through the day and all through the last few days, looking forward to teaching. And I didn't want to step in between. I didn't want to step in between Sister Marcia and God, because I know God is able. I know Sister Smith is able to fill in. And it's just beautiful that we can study the word of God, read God's word. And we can just go on and encourage people to read and study the Word of God. You can't beat it. Yeah. But I do want you to know that we need your prayers. I especially need your prayers because you, some of you may not know. It's just Velma only has me, the mother, and one brother, and our nephew. That's all it is to this little family. We can get in one car. And I, when I came to Omaha, Nebraska, I've always been thankful that God led me to a church. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, but all the church membership, my sisters and brothers in Christ. So I want you to know I appreciate all your cards and everything that you're doing. The prayers, we're leaning and depending on Jesus. We don't know what he's going to have in store for us, but we're trusting in the Lord. So thank you for everything.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Gay. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, Sister Gay, you have about 30 people on here who loves you and Velma and your family. And they, we all are understanding their circumstances and, you know, the challenges and all that you are going through, you know, and I, you know, even my own challenges, you know, but be encouraged, you know. I'm just trusting God, yes. And I know you are, yes, too. You know, I know that. Yes. And I know what you are doing.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And we are praying for your strength. We are absolutely, yes, praying.
Thank
for
you.
Your strength,
praying,
you know.
For each other.
Yes, praying for each other.
Thank you, Sister Kristen, exactly, and all the rest of us. And I know that there's much more than 30, you know, and all can't be on at the same time.
Yeah,
I'm glad,
true,
to see some of you that I haven't seen in several weeks, but we know we're all together. Brothers and, yeah, sisters in Christ.
Yes, because the Lord tells us to encourage one another. To, yeah, encourage, yes, one another. And that's what you're here today.
I think we're going over time now. So our teacher likes us to end on time. Let's, yeah, end with prayer. I don't know, yeah, how we're going to end with prayer. But
Brother Jordan, would you pray us out, please?
Did you ask me to pray?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we come again in prayer. We come again as an organization, a Sunday school group, a Bible group. We come to you, and we want to first thank you.
Thank you.
We want to thank you. We want to thank you for the gifts, and we want to thank you for the favor. We want to thank you for this day.
Yeah.
But this is the day that you've given us, and we are rejoicing, and we're glad in it. Lord, we want to thank you for Lyon, Marsha Hall, and Sister Smith for, yeah, conducting this class. For, yeah, for they done well. They done good.
Yeah.
Well, please. We, yeah, want to thank you for having us together here. And we, yeah, want to go and petition you, Lord, for, yeah, petition you, Lord, to give Sister Velma's Jean Centers to stretch you. We want you to be there for her in her place of need. We want you to just bless her.
Yes,
we want you to just be there.
We
are all in prayer. We're holding her up in prayer. And we want you to pray and give Sister Gay some strength.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh Lord.
Yes.
Give,
yes,
Sister Gay.
Thank you, Father.
Oh my God. Oh my Lord. We just want to thank you, and we want to praise, yeah, you too. And I want to say these things in the great name of Jesus. And
yes, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Amen.
Good night,
amen.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you,
Lord. And Marsha. Yes. Thank you,
very
guys.
Well,
bye.
Good job.
Bye.